All right, we're talking about driver training today, and my next guest is Tim Norlin. He's the Vice President of Driver Employment at Rail Transport in Marshfield, Wisconsin. Tim's a graduate of Ivy College of Business at Iowa State University with a BBA in Transportation and Logistics. He has over 33 years in the transportation industry in a variety of positions from operations, sales, safety, driver training and development, and recruiting. He's a member of the Wisconsin Motor Carriers Association, where he served as a past board member and chairman of the Legislative Committee. Currently, he serves on the board of directors of the Commercial Vehicle Training Alliance and the Next Generation of Trucking Foundation. He's also a member of the North Central Wisconsin Workforce Development Board and serves on the client advisory boards of three industry consumer reporting agencies. And in February of 2020, Tim was named the 2019 Recruiting Professional of the Year by Transport Topics magazine. Congratulations, Tim, and welcome to the show.
Well, hi, Ellen. Glad to be here.
Hey, so this week, Fleet Owner had an article that rail transport drivers earned $3.5 million for safety. That was just this week, so I was going to add that to my list of things I was going to ask you about. You want to talk a little bit about that? $3.5 million?
Yeah, $3.5 million we paid out in safety incentives to our drivers in 2021. So really exciting. We know we're going to pay at least that much in 2022 and probably a significant amount more since we increased our accident free pay in the second half of 2021. So really proud of that. We, you know, we really want to reward our drivers for always doing the right things and what we call driving the railway. And it really pays off for us. That's money well spent.
Well, and according to this article, it says that over 90% of your drivers were eligible for accident-free pay. So it's something that is achievable and something that will, you know, the drivers can earn. My only concern is that the photo only shows men on there, and Joshua called in earlier, and I'm going to hold you to be accountable for pronouns as well. So when you talk about drivers, switch from male or female to he, her, so that we're including women. Got it?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And you know, that was a stock photo that Fleet Owner picked up off of our website. So I apologize for that. Yes, we want to be inclusive, and we definitely want to include our female drivers. You know, female drivers are known for being safer drivers than male drivers anyway.
Yeah, we talked about that. And I know that you have a lot of female drivers because I know that you do. So talk about, you know, you and I got stuck in an airport one time, and we were talking about some of the cool things that rail is doing. And one of the things that I thought was interesting is, I think you call it the relaunch program. You know, it's like a rusty pilots program. But talk a little bit about the rail relaunch program.
Yeah, you know, it's hard enough to find drivers. But what we found we were doing is if somebody had a CDL but hadn't driven in, say, the last 4 or 5 years, we were looking beyond those folks and passing on them. And being the organization that we are with a great training program, I reached out to my peers at Rail and I said, listen, we've got all of this great training investment at Rail. Why can't we take these drivers, bring them in, give them a skills evaluation, determine what we need to do to knock the rust off and get them back to being productive commercial drivers. And hence the relaunch program. So we'll take someone that has a CDL, has kept it in good standing, but maybe hasn't driven in the last 5 or 10 years. We bring them in, we give them that skills evaluation on day one and determine a path for them. You know, they may be right up to snuff and be able to go right out in their own truck. They may need a couple days with one of our driver trainers, or they may just need a day or two on our skills pad working on those low speed maneuvers.
See, I think that's amazing. And I think you're right. Other carriers are like, well, if you don't have any experience in the last 3 years, we don't want to talk to you. And one of the things that we hear over and over again, okay, we need 80,000 drivers. Well, guess what? We probably lost 80,000 drivers in the last 3 years that could have stayed in the industry if somebody had given them that second chance. So kudos to Rail for doing that. So what about you? So you have a school. You're in Marshfield, Wisconsin, which is kind of central Wisconsin, I'll say. How long has Rail had the school?
You know, Rail has had a training program going back into the 1980s, actually. At the time, it was called the RDTC, the Rail Driver Training Center. That was an accredited school with a tuition. folks would pay for the schooling. Rail would help them get their CDL, and then we hoped that they would drive for Rail for a period of time. And we offered tuition reimbursement in the form of months of employment would knock off so much of their tuition. Around about 2014, 2015, it was before I joined Rail, they came out with what we have currently, which is the Get Paid to Get Your CDL training program. And it's an employer-run, on-the-job training program, so no longer a school. It's the same curriculum, but it's no longer a school. It's on-the-job paid training. What we found is people just couldn't quit a job, have no source of income, and come to a CDL school. And we're still seeing that today. So we came up with this program. We pay them while they're going through the on-the-job training. We provide lodging for them. We provide most of their meals for them. And, you know, in 3 weeks, these folks have a CDL. Then we put them out with a driver trainer for 19 to 24 days. And lo and behold, in about 6 weeks, 6 to 7 weeks, they upgrade, are assigned their own truck, and are on their way to making $70,000 a year.
And they've been paid the whole time.
And they've been paid the whole time, correct.
Interesting. You do have some very innovative things. And I think, you know, some of the things I've heard about Rail, and I want to remind our listeners, it's R-O-E-H-L. And I know so many people cannot pronounce it. They call it roll or they call it whatever, but it's R-O-E-H-L as if it was rail, like railroad.
Exactly. And, you know, Ellen, because we have that issue, we actually, if somebody wants to go and check us out, our website is rail.job, spelled R-O-E-H-L. But if you type in RAIL.jobs, you go to the same place.
Oh, you're kidding. That's brilliant.
No.
So, Tim, I have to take a hard break at the top of the hour. But I want to remind our listeners, if you have a question or a comment or are interested, if you haven't driven for a number of years and you have a question for Tim, it's 888-876-2336 or 888-ROAD-DOG. We're talking about driver training. We're going to ask you.
You're listening to Road Dog Trucking Radio's Women in Trucking Show on SiriusXM. Now, please welcome back your host and the CEO of the Women in Trucking Association, Ellen Voya.
Today's show is all about driver training, and I've got Tim Norland. He's the Vice President of Driver Employment at Rail Transport, R-O-E-H-L, Rail Jobs, Rail.jobs. Tim, February 7th, you know what goes into effect, the new entry-level driver training rules, and so how will that affect your training environment?
You know, Ellen, we were already able to comply with that, so we really had to make no changes to our training or curriculum. We just had to get set up with the training registry and make sure that that the way we track hours would flow into the TPR. So that's all set up. We've been going at that since September of last year to make sure that we were prepared. We're looking forward to it. We think this is a good thing for our industry.
You know, and that's the whole point. The entry-level driver training rules should not affect good schools. I mean, they're already doing, you know, the right thing. And so it's to get rid of the ones out there that take a horse trailer and a pickup truck and, you know, say that you've got enough training to get your CDL. So it'll be interesting to see after February 7th if there's, you know, schools that go under or have to adapt their training environment or whatever. But I kind of figured you'd have that answer that you guys are already following those rules. So let's talk about how driver's miles are calculated, because I know Rail has something that's a little different than the rest of the industry. So talk a little bit about that.
Sure. Yeah. You know, back in the day, and you mentioned how long I've been in this industry. It seems like a lifetime, which it has been. But, you know, drivers were always paid by short route miles, household good movers, guide miles. And back in, I worked for another carrier at the time, and I remember the day that Rail Transport came out and announced that they were going to be the first carrier to pay drivers based on practical route miles. None of us knew what practical route miles was, so we all had to go through that learning curve and, you know, paying the practical route, the most reasonable route from point to point using, you know, truck routes for drivers. So again, Rail kind of leading the industry there. Well, fast forward to 2019, and we looked at practical route and we said, you know, there's still a discrepancy because practical route still pays city center to city center. And sometimes a driver's delivering on the east side of town and has to go to the west side of town to pick their next load up, they're missing miles there. They would only get paid for a mile maybe. So we developed address to address, and it took a tremendous amount of effort from our technology team at Rail, and we've got a fantastic IT team. But they looked at paying address to address practical route miles. So it pays the driver exactly the miles from wherever they delivered to their next pickup and likewise to their next delivery. And it's a significant amount, Ellen. We have a roller shade banner that we take to trade shows and share with drivers. But I'm going to try and do this off the top of my head. But we did a load from St. Louis to Minneapolis as an example. And short route miles from St. Louis to Minneapolis were like 541. So then we calculated practical route miles on that same load, and we came up with 562 miles. So
wow,
a little bit better, 21 miles better. Well, then we calculated address to address on this particular load, and it was 572 miles, so another 11 miles. So, I mean, 572 versus 542, you can see there's a significant number of miles that drivers are leaving on the table. Number one, if they're driving for a carrier that pays short route miles, but number two, if the carrier that pays practical route miles hasn't upgraded to that address to address.
Interesting. I remember the household goods carrier guide, and that's what everybody went through. And that book, do you remember how big that book was? It was huge.
Right. Yes, it was. It was enormous.
It was enormous. It took a whole desk, and you'd sit there with your finger, and you'd, you know, calculate the miles on practical. Anyway, we've got a caller, Tim, if you don't mind. In fact, I recognize this caller. It's Kelly Lynn. Kelly Lynn's our driver ambassador. Welcome to the Women in Trucking Show, Kelly Lynn. Did you hear me talk about you earlier?
I did. I was so excited.
So what would you like to say to Tim?
Well, actually, I have a question for Tim, because, Tim, I am a driver, and I'm a driver trainer. I drive for Schneider, and then I also work as a driver ambassador. And one thing that I talk a lot about that is particularly important to women is the training environment when you're over the road. And you touched on the fact that you guys have a 6 to 7 week program, but I'm curious to know what the training environment is while they're over the road, because best practice, as Ellen and I talk about often, is that when you have mixed gender in a cab, that there's no sharing of the sleeper berth if you're over the road, and that when the student is in training, that the trainer is actually on duty, so the student doesn't wind up, doing the night shift unsupervised.
Well, and Tim, I did not know she was going to call in, so... But it's all yours.
No, that's fine. That's fine. Absolutely. It's very important at Rail that when our students are on the road for their over-the-road driver training, that they are doing the work and they are not an extra logbook in the truck. And, I hear exactly what you're saying. I know there are carriers out there that think a trainer and a student can run as a team. We don't believe that at all. In fact, our trainers are on duty, not driving, sitting in the passenger seat while our trainee is driving. And once they use up their hours, if our trainer wants to take another hour or two to drive, understand they've been on duty, they can do that. But there's none of this, hey, I'm jumping in the sleeper berth, you drive for the next 10 hours and wake me up. We don't do that at Rail. We are not a team operation. We are a solo operation. So, like I said, our trainers are in the passenger seat, paying attention, working with the student. Okay, there's an exit coming up. You know, what's your plan? You know, you're going through a city. What lane do you want to be in? They're working with them the whole time. And, you know, most of our training takes, we say, between 19 and 24 days, somewhere in there. It's all about their skills. Once they have those skills, we will evaluate no sooner than 19 days. But we've had folks that have had to go out with, and we try to put them with more than one trainer purposely to get a different perspective, because each trainer has a different perspective. And
I think that is Yeah, that is so awesome. I just want to give you guys a big shout out and kudos for doing that and going the extra mile to provide them with different trainers. And, you know, can you touch on the sleeper berth part and how do you guys handle that?
Yeah, as Ellen knows, we really get into to harassment training and spend a lot of time there. In fact, we make all of our employees, not just our drivers, but all of our employees go through the training. And it includes watching a movie. And Ellen, you're going to have to help me out here.
I never remember
the name of the movie.
No, it's North Country with Charlize Theron. And I use this, Kelly Lynn, as best practices because they have their drivers sit down and watch this movie about a woman who's working in a mine and they treat her terribly. And it's really... Yeah, it's really about women have a right to be in the trucking industry. And I, Tim, I've always used that as a best practice that you guys have that sensitivity training for your trainers that you treat women as if they were your mom, sister, aunt, cousin, grandma, whatever. So kudos to you guys for doing that. Are you good,
yeah,
Kelly Lynn?
Yeah, kudos.
Yeah. Thanks, Kelly Lynn.
Yeah, and then.
All righty. Oh, go ahead.
Back to the training situation in the sleeper berth in the truck. You know, I would love to tell you that we have a plethora of female trainers at Rail. Unfortunately, because of the percentage of male and female drivers, we are heavily weighted with male trainers. But like I said, they all go through this training. We want to make sure that our trainees are comfortable. We try to accommodate. If a female says, "I want a female trainer," if we can do that, we will do that, but unfortunately, we can't promise that all the time.
All right, Kelly Lynn, you drive safe, okay?
All righty, bye-bye.
All right, take care. Okay, Tim, we've got a couple minutes left, but I just want to talk about some non-driving jobs because I'm on your website, roehl.jobs, and wow, you have everything from driver recruiters to tire technicians to entry-level, you know, to fleet managers to orientation instructors. You guys have a lot of jobs listed on your site, so talk a little bit about that.
We are growing. You know, Ellen, this... I know the virus has affected our industry greatly. We've lost a lot of drivers, but you know, great companies find a way to grow through adversity like this, and we've managed to do that. So we've really broadened what we're able to do with our customers. Here's something else we're doing. We need these people to help do it. We realize that drivers want to be home more often. And when you have to plan a driver to be home weekly versus every 2 or 3 weeks, it takes more people to make that happen. So hence, we need more people in just about every part of the organization. Maintenance is huge for us. We try to do all our maintenance in-house. So we're trying to hire those techs. And quite frankly, techs are as hard, if not harder, to hire than drivers right now. But driver recruiters, like I said, we're growing. We have huge aspirations for 2022, and we're going to need the staff to help us get that done. Demand for our GYCDL training program is enormous. In fact, we just don't have enough recruiters to get through all the applications that we have right now.
And you have quite a few sites. I mean, you're not just in Marshfield. You're in Georgia, Arizona, Indiana. I mean, I'm looking at your listings on here. You have quite a few facilities.
Yes, we've got a pretty big footprint. You know, we've got the Dallas, Phoenix, Atlanta, Chicagoland, Gary, Indiana. We've got our Marshfield terminal. We've got a terminal in Appleton, Wisconsin. We've got a terminal in Ironwood, Michigan. So we're pretty spread out.
I go by that terminal in Appleton every time I go to the airport.
Yes, you do. You absolutely
because,
do.
Because
a great
it's
location.
Right. Yeah, it's right south of the airport, and I get mixed in with the rail trucks turning into the rail facility in Appleton. I do want to keep you on because I've got you until the bottom of the hour, so I'm going to take another break, Tim. And when we come back, if you don't mind, I'm going to throw this at you. The new driver apprenticeship program, and how will that affect your training at Rail as well? So we're going to think about that over the break, and we'll be right back. If you have a question or comment for Tim, 888-876-2336, 888-ROAD-DOG. It's all about driver training.
On the wind that lifts her perfume through the air.
It's the Women's Trucking Show on Road Dog Trucking Radio. Here's your host and CEO of the Women in Trucking Association, Ellen Voya.
And we're talking about driver training today, and my guest is Tim Norland. He's the Vice President of Driver Employment at Rail Transport in Marshfield. And Tim, before the break, I asked you about the new, in the infrastructure bill, it brought back the provisions from the Safe Driving Act that included an apprenticeship program for those 18 to 21. So talk a little bit about that. And I have to say that our members are torn. I mean, you can imagine some of our members think that it's a good idea. Some of our members think it's a bad idea. But in reality, we've already got 18 to 20-year-olds driving trucks on our roads anyway.
That's correct, Ellen. Yeah, a local TV station called me the other day to get my thoughts on it. And I said, listen, you already have that. They can drive intrastate. They can drive from Superior, Wisconsin down to Racine, Wisconsin. But they can't cross from Superior, Wisconsin to Duluth, Minnesota, you know, 5 miles away. So
right.
That's already happening. But I did mention, you know, just because 18-year-olds will be able to drive interstate under this apprenticeship program doesn't mean that every 18-year-old should. It's just like anybody, you know, not everybody should be a commercial driver. They have to have safety at front of mind. And quite frankly, some 18-year-olds are mature enough. They'd be excellent drivers. There are 18-year-olds that I don't even think should be behind the wheel of a car. So it's the matter of you know, evaluating each person and deciding, do they have the aptitude to do this? Can they operate a commercial motor vehicle safely? And to have the opportunity to try this, I think, is enormous. Because let's face it, you know, kids getting out of high school today, there was such a push, go to college, go to tech school, learn a trade. By the time they turned 21, we didn't have an opportunity to address them to see if they wanted to be a commercial motor vehicle driver. We became a second choice career path for these folks. This is going to give us an opportunity to make it a primary career path. And we're already working with a local high school in the area. They've got kids. It's a rural community, but they have kids that want to get their commercial driver's license. That's what they want to do. They don't want to go to college.
Right. Well, and it is a pretty decent, you know, middle class living. So a friend of mine who's over the road driver, his son wanted to drive and his son was 19. And so nobody would hire him because of insurance. But he did get a job here in central Wisconsin hauling pallets to the foundry. And so he's in a tractor trailer running around central Wisconsin, driving an 18-wheeler, you know, already. But what great experience for when he hits 21. In fact, we had Scott earlier, I think it was Scott, who told me that he had driven in-state until he could drive out-of-state. Maybe that was Joshua. But one of them said that they drove in-state until they could drive out-of-state when they hit 21. So, I mean, it is a great career progression, right?
Right. It absolutely is. And, you know, you think about a rural state like Wisconsin, a lot of these kids work on their family farms operating heavy machinery. I mean, we're talking giant combines and tractors and pulling grain wagons now. So moving into a tractor trailer is no big deal for them. You think about 18, 19-year-olds that are operating M1 tanks or, you know, transports in the military. There's no reason they shouldn't be given the opportunity to continue that and drive a commercial motor vehicle. They've already shown the aptitude. So let's give them that chance.
You know, you mentioned farm kids, and I remember you and I have both been in this industry long enough that, boy, if you had a farm kid, trucking companies would just snap them up in a heartbeat because they knew how to hook and unhook a trailer. They could back a trailer. They were responsible. You know, they had been given some responsibility at an early age. So I always, you know, if you're a farm kid, oh, man, you got that job. Right?
Right. Exactly. Exactly.
So anyway, going back to rail, R-O-E-H-L, you guys have both flatbeds and vans. Talk a little bit about what you're hauling.
Yeah, so actually we cover it all. We've got dry van, we've got refrigerated, and we've got flatbed. Most of our flatbed is, you know, machinery, pipe, lumber, things of that nature. The dry van is mostly consumer products, corrugated packaging, some paper products, and on the refrigerated side, hey, we're a Wisconsin-based carrier, so guess what we haul a lot of? Cheese. Cheese, a lot of cheese. But, you know, we do a lot of business with some of the big Fortune 500 food producers that you can imagine. And the nice thing about being so diversified is markets move in different directions. Maybe housing starts fall, but people still got to eat. So we've got that refrigerated freight that's keeping us busy, or vice versa. You know, right now, flatbed is through the roof. We can't keep up with the demand. We can't keep up with the demand on any of our various channels right now, but
keep that cheese moving. Keep that cheese moving.
Absolutely.
I've got a caller, Sean. Sean is in Canada. He wants to make a comment. Hey, welcome to the Women in Trucking Show, Sean.
Good afternoon. I was driving a school bus when I was in high school still.
You're kidding.
I had to be able to check out of my mechanics class early on one day and not show up on the next day, so I could do the job as driving school bus. I wasn't going to be a mechanic, we knew that, but I did want to be a driver. So I actually took a charter one day, and it was for a football team, and everybody who walked in says, "Are you old enough to drive this thing?" And one of the kids that was on the football team actually was in my class. And when I got and after the football game, they lost. They were mad. They looked at me. Isn't it past your bedtime? And so I took them back safely. But even to this day, if you ask them what kind of a driver I am, is he looking for a job? I'll hire him right now. So.
That's great.
Not interested. I had no intention of being a long distance truck driver, but I did have an opportunity from the guy who trained and hired me. And if you tell people back then that I got trained and hired, their jaw dropped because nobody was hiring. And here I got trained and hired because he knew I was driving a school bus and I was doing a good job, that he actually trained and hired me to haul sewage for the city. Now that was city work. But at that time you had to be 25 to cross the border. So, and go on the highway, minimum 21, but in the U.S., insurance companies would not touch you unless you were 25.
Yeah, it's the insurance part. Yeah.
But you know what? I got to drive at 18, school bus, and I got the opportunity to drive. So the jobs are there. They're just not there for over the road. But there's got to be that exemption for Duluth and Superior. I mean, there's a few towns like that don't make sense, that there's got to be an exemption for towns like that. I'm not talking about going to New York City when you live in Wisconsin, but for Duluth, Superior, there should be an exemption for that.
You know, you're right. And there's a whole history behind why you can't cross state lines. And it's really not the driver crossing the state lines. It's the load that can't cross the state line. And that's because of the Interstate Commerce Commission and then FMCSA, because they have jurisdiction over that load. So, right, Tim?
That's correct. In fact, it goes further than that, Ellen. We have to be careful. Drivers under 21 that are not interstate commerce eligible can only haul intrastate freight.
Right.
If you really want to get technical. So only loads that originate and deliver in Wisconsin can a Wisconsin 18-year-old haul.
Yeah. Thank you, Sean. I got a lot of background noise coming from you, so I'm going to let you go, okay?
Okay, thank you. I need a better headset. Thank
yeah.
you.
Thanks for calling in. All right. So, Tim, any last words? Otherwise, I'm going to let you go and go back to enjoying your Saturday. What are you cooking today?
Tonight is smash burgers on the Blackstone flat top.
Oh, well, put some photos on Facebook.
I certainly will.
Thanks so much for coming on, Tim. It's R-O-E-H-L, rail.jobs. Lots of jobs on there. And if you are need a relaunch, check out the Rail Relaunch Program. If you haven't driven for a number of years and you want to get back in a truck, check that out. So R-O-E-H-L.jobs. Thanks so much, Tim, for being on the Women in Trucking Show. We'll get you on again in the future. Have a great
Thank
weekend.
Thank you, Ellen.
All right, you take you care. All right, we're going to take a break, and when we come back, we're going to bring on Marilyn Serber. She's the transportation advisor at 10th Street, and she's got some interesting data on why drivers leave, why drivers stay, and driver retention. We'll be right back, 888-876-2336, 888-ROAD-DOG.